Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the truth that you have revealed to us in such bounty and in such clarity. We know that without your Spirit we cannot understand this truth. And we know that unless you work in our hearts, we cannot bow them to this truth either. And thus I pray that you would help us as we would be looking at this important subject of jurisdiction, that you would instruct us through your truth, and that we would indeed have hearts that are subject to that truth, and that we would bring our thinking into line with every word that you have spoken. So unto this end we commit our study this evening. Amen. All right, we're continuing in our study of this important subject of jurisdiction, looking at this third part in this particular little mini-series within the broader series of being self-consciously biblical. But I remind you that if God's word is not shaping our every thought, then we are being autonomous. We are being a law unto ourselves. We've said that before. But God has given us a comprehensive revelation so that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we read that in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17. Which means we're not left to guessing what God expects from us. We're not left to trying to find out how things ought to function and what He requires of us. While it does mean we need some diligence in obtaining what the truth is that God has revealed and what it's going to arrive at that truth, it takes some effort on our part as we search the scriptures. And we also need a heart of faith that will humbly bow to God's wisdom, renounce human wisdom. It is God who has made different jurisdictions and given the power or right to people to exercise authority in those jurisdictions. So He's made that. We know that. We've seen that before. God makes these jurisdictions and then He gives the right to somebody or some group in order to exercise that authority and jurisdiction. Now, jurisdiction means there are limits within which any particular power may be exercised. When people assume a function for themselves that does not conform to God's defined jurisdictions, then their exercising of that function is illegitimate. So when somebody picks up a function and they are not conforming themselves either to God's jurisdiction or that they're not conforming themselves to who God has said can do that thing, the way they're functioning is illegitimate. It is contradicting God's truth and God's way. What they're actually doing might be good and necessary. Might be something to say, you know, this needs to be done. Somebody must do it. But when it is performed by someone who doesn't have God's assigned jurisdiction to carry out that function, carry out that thing, then it is counterproductive. It's actually undermining the kingdom. An obvious example of this would be a child. He might very well be in need of a spanking. But not just anybody can go and spank that child. If you had to spank that child and you didn't have jurisdiction over that child, then you would be not strengthening the kingdom and strengthening what God is trying to accomplish. You would be undermining it. You're undermining the kingdom through though your intentions are to build it. Though you're saying, well, if I can just sort him out, then it's going to contribute to the kingdom and it's going to build it. You say, no, we've got to bow to God's will on this thing and God's wisdom and say, no, I have to pursue this in God's way. God's word says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him, Proverbs 22 and verse 15. So we see God's wisdom on that. There needs to be correction. And the rod of correction is a biblical ordained means in order to get foolishness out of a child's heart. So it is a good and godly work to spank a stubborn child. But that doesn't mean anyone can do it. Because ultimately, spanking is for God's kingdom. And the family to whom that child has been given to, the family, is the most basic and important unit in the working of God's kingdom, and it's their responsibility in order to function in that way. So the family is the vital unit in God's kingdom, and therefore you've got to get the things and the issues right at the family level, or else you're undermining the very starting place of the whole manifesting of God's kingdom and the whole outworking of that in this world. Thus, spanking is critical to the outworking of God's unfolding kingdom purposes. I wonder how many people believe that. Spanking is critical to the whole plan of God. But the whole spanking issue is a very jurisdictional issue. It highlights this point that we're trying to make. Spanking is not for man's goals and agendas. It is to be God-focused. Thus, spanking is a vital component for strengthening the family and equipping the next generation. But to be effective, it must be carried out by those whom God has delegated the jurisdiction to. When someone else takes upon themselves the authority to spank your child, they are undermining the family and how the family should function. This will be very obvious to almost everyone. You should all see that very clearly. What I'm saying here, this is obvious. You can't just walk up to somebody else's child and start spanking them, because even if they did something they deserve to be spanked for. You can't just do that. Okay, so this is obvious. You can see this clearly. But now when we try and take that same truth and say, okay, let's look at some other jurisdictional areas where we see how God has said things should function, we stop thinking biblically and we say, well, man comes up with his own wisdom and says, well, he has a problem, let's sort it out. And so we launch into that problem with all our own human thinking. Because there are many other comparable issues that the church, for the most part, doesn't see, and it is compromising God's ordained structure, and thus their actions are counterproductive to both the family and the kingdom. You're undermining the building blocks that God is trying to establish. What is the reasoning behind churches running Sunday school programs and the vacation Bible school programs and youth group programs? The fundamental argument you'll get from people is, well, these children need it because they're not getting it somewhere else. They're not getting this kind of training. They need this training. Do age-segregated Sunday school programs undermine or strengthen the family and the kingdom? How so? How do they strengthen the family and the kingdom? What message is it sending? What is it communicating? What is it saying where instruction is to be given and obtained, and into what kind of environment and situation is it to be given? Into whose jurisdiction does education fall? Educating the children, the parents. There's overwhelming passages that teach us this. Genesis 18 verse 19, Deuteronomy 4 verses 9, Deuteronomy 6 verses 6 through 9, Joshua 4, 21 through 24, and 25, 15, and Ephesians 6, 4. We see it's all the parents' responsibility. It's clearly laid before the parents and said, this is what you have to do. When parents now fail to carry out this responsibility properly, who is supposed to step into the gap? What is our mind? How do we think about that? Here we see a neglect. There's a glaring neglect, a very fundamental and basic neglect. Not to educate these children in God's ways is a glaring failure. Now, whose responsibility does it become? No one's, except the parents. It stays upon the parents' responsibility. Why? Why does it have to stay that? Because as soon as we come up with man's wisdom to try and bring a solution to this problem, and we do not use God's basic solution to that problem, we're actually not rectifying the situation. We're compounding it. We're not sorting its fundamental problem out. How is the kingdom moved forward? It's moved forward through the family functioning properly. As it functions properly, the kingdom moves. Not to keep the focus upon the family unit is to merely deal with the symptoms and fail to address the real problem. We're overlooking where I should be pouring my time, where we should be sending our focus, where we should be committing everything. Should be the family is fundamental to this whole project. So let's get the family involved and let's work away. How do we get the family functioning properly? But as soon as we come up with a quick fix on a different angle, then we neglect the most fundamental building block. Children must be discipled within the family structure. So we do not start discipling the child outside the family in order to fix this fundamental problem. We must start discipling the family so that the child might be discipled. Fathers need to assume their God-given responsibilities and courageously carry them out if the kingdom is going to prosper in this world. As we read in Malachi 4 verses 5 and 6, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That is why properly functioning families are so important. It is how the kingdom works. But is this accomplished when we introduce a quick fix? It's not. We're undermining. We're still leaving the most critical part of the kingdom unaddressed, unfixed. There it is. It's still misfiring and dilapidated and crawling around in the muck. And we're trying to solve the problem by dealing on a superficial level. A fix like having a Sunday school teacher. A youth group leader. Well, let's get youth group leaders. Let's train youth group leaders to do this job. No, but you're still trying to accomplish this task in a foreign environment, an artificial environment. A youth group is not where the basic training can and should take place. It's the family unit. So we've got to bring it back to there. That's the starting place. So we mustn't be thinking, let's do the youth group and hopefully we sort out the family. No, we have to sort out the family and then disciple everybody through that means. When man relies upon his own wisdom to come up with answers, he exacerbates the problem. He makes it worse. Makes the problem he's trying to solve into something even bigger, a bigger problem. We must always turn to God and discover His wisdom and bring our thinking and our traditions and our well-established programs into line with what His Word shows us we should be doing. Bringing our children's hearts home and keeping them there requires vigilant protection being given by fathers. We are meant to protect their hearts and focus upon what God says is important. The focus is to be upon their godly character and obedience, and to effective service of the King. This entails giving constant instruction about what you are doing and why, and repeatedly casting the vision for why you are doing what you are doing. If you are way off the track, you need to repent as a father, as a parent, and bring your family back into line by patient instruction. This is the way we should be. This is the way. This is the understanding and the path we should be following. Which means you need to first know what you are trying to accomplish. If the Lord is opening the father's eyes, that is the best place to start, because he is in a position to bring his whole family along with him. But he needs to be discipled. He needs to be instructed first, so that he knows what he is aiming at, and then he's better able to instruct his family. So he needs to be equipped and trained. And thus, what we're doing here is fundamental to that whole task and that whole responsibility, making us aware of our responsibilities and helping us to be effective fathers and leaders. It's only the Lord who can bring this about. And so you need to cast yourself upon him so that he can help you disciple your family onto a kingdom-focused track. Get it onto that track, onto that right path. It takes courage and wisdom. It is taking up one's jurisdictional duty. What is my duty? What is my jurisdictional authority, and how does that, should that look? Okay, this is what it looks like with respect to the family. I am accountable and responsible. Effective home education with generational vision means resisting all the distractions of our age, which constantly poke their unwelcome noses into our homes. There's umpteen distractions. Many things constantly want to force their way in and distract us from this vision. Who is the family's protector? It's us, the fathers. There are certain things that destroy the possibility of Christian maturity and effectiveness. What things hinder this kingdom focus? This maturity, this responsibility, and this focus. There are many things that hinder that. Our business can hinder that. We can be too busy in our businesses, in our jobs, in those kinds of things, and so we neglect the time that we should be having at home. We neglect those. We have no energy for pouring into that. We can have our hobbies and our other little games that we like to play, and those can distract us from our fundamental responsibility. So we'd have to bring all those things before the Lord and weigh them up in His light and according to His truth. We need to focus on what is necessary and important. Entertainment is a huge distraction, and our world has exalted entertainment to the place of a god, where this is absolutely critical to our existence, as Rome did in those ancient days, and their whole society was just governed by the entertainment and the Colosseum and the circuses and all the fun and those kinds of things. And our day is not much different from that. Friends, if friends become the focus, that can distract you from your vision and purpose. I assure you that trying to keep your children's hearts focused at home and committed to home, if you've constantly got friends involved that are pulling their hearts away, and the attraction of friends is as strong as the attraction of television, and you're not going to compete and saying, okay, no, but this is where we ought to be, this is what we should be doing and focusing upon, this is how we ought to be doing it. So there's many things that can stop us, and that's why I talk about needing courage and understanding as to how we do this and carry out this thing. There's many other things you can come up with and think about yourself that distract, and there might be unique things in each individual family, things that distract and lead one astray from this vision and or having the time and energy for this vision. The church or anyone else has no jurisdiction to carry out the father's responsibilities. The church is meant to be challenging and equipping fathers to carry out the work of their ministry, and each family's ministry in their home is absolutely vital. There's nothing more important that a father can do, that ministry in the home. That's absolutely critical. Now the church is there to equip and help the father, prepare him for that, equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but the focus of that ministry has to be seen as the home becomes the critical aspect that the father has to pour his energy and his time into. The next area is a difficult one to talk about, but then this is what life is like. It's not easy to apply God's truth to our modern contemporary world, particularly when we've got worldviews and we've got understandings and thinking patterns that are established in our minds. When those get challenged and you say, what are you talking about? Okay, so I'm just preparing you for that. Another way jurisdiction is undermined is when wives are not taught by their husbands. It undermines the jurisdictional boundaries and authority structures. When husbands are failing to instruct their wives in God's truth, where should the wife go to for her instruction? Where should she go? The woman's Bible study. That's the solution. That's the answer. That's what they say. That's what the church promotes. I believe there is a place where older women instruct younger women about the womanly nuances of life, how to love her husband better, how to serve and love her children, how to run her household. There's certain practical details that older women can definitely pass on to younger women, as we told in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. But this is not running a Bible study. This is not having a woman's Bible study where some the ladies are going to study through Romans or something like that. Paul says, and if they want to learn something, he's talking to the wives, if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:35. Okay, now we're not talking about speaking in the church here. Well, what we've got to realize, when Paul says that, he's basing it upon a principle. And the principle is now applicable to what I'm saying about Bible studies. The principle here is to keep the structure where God places it and keep the pressure upon the husband to act at all times as the leader and the teacher that he needs to be. The goal here is not to keep women ignorant, but it is to highlight the federal headship of the husband in God's kingdom working. God's covenant has structure, and his kingdom advances according to that structure. That is where the power of God is unleashed. Because when these principles are upheld, the result is real spiritual working, real spiritual strength comes out of that. So when we hold these principles in line and say, okay, so how should this be functioning? Once again, however, the truth of how God expects us to function has to be grasped by looking at the scriptures. And then bringing our lives into line with that by faith, faithfully instructing in those lines or being instructed according to those things. When we are told to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we have to ask why we are doing what we are doing. What is the authority for my actions with respect to this matter? What is the authority here? God's word is the authority, and we bow to that first and foremost, whatever it says. But then, when we do that, we also recognize and more fully understand other godly principles that show us why something is inconsistent with God's word. You see, the husband protects his wife, not just physically, but spiritually too. If the wife goes outside of the home to get her instructions, then he can't protect her. He can't protect her spiritual well-being in that careful way. Moreover, if the wife receives her instruction outside of the home because of the husband's inability, because he's incapable of doing or giving this instruction, then the husband will either never assume the responsibility or he will never measure up to all those outside resources where the wife obtains her biblical knowledge. My husband is just unable to instruct me, and therefore I need to go and ask so-and-so. So each time the wife has a problem, a spiritual issue, a theological question, she's going to go and ask her teacher. She's going to go and ask her pastor or her Bible study teacher, some other person, as opposed to what Paul is saying. Woman, ask your husbands at home. If you want to know something, ask your husbands at home. What? There's the principle. He turns the wife's heart back to the structure, to how this functions, showing how important the family is, and is putting the pressure back on the husband. Indeed, you've got to be leading. You've got to be instructing. You've got to be guiding. And so as soon as you short-circuit the wife's responsibility of coming back to her husband to find out, you break the whole way the thing works, either by the wife not wanting to come to her husband and looking elsewhere for her instruction, or by the husband not feeling the pressure and therefore being lazy about his responsibilities, not picking up his jurisdiction and saying, I've got to do this. I've got to be a man. I've got to lead in this way because this is how God says I have to lead. You see, the goal is the proper functioning of the family, because this is how the kingdom is advanced. It is the husband who has been given jurisdiction to teach his wife. Thus the godly wife who is married to an immature man must keep the pressure upon her husband to become mature. You must become mature. She's got to do this graciously. She's got to do this with a quiet and humble spirit, with godliness, not undermining him and not criticizing him, but keeping the pressure always there. He's the one who has to guide her. He's the one who has to come up with the answer. Now, yes, he needs to be wise and find a church where he's got a support base that are instructing him, and he can build a support base of friends to help and guide him as well if he's very immature. But at least he's moving in the direction where he is going to assume the full responsibility for leading his family. But his wife must keep looking to him, because as soon as she stops doing that, then he has no pressure upon him to mature. And so we're breaking the circuit. So what we're doing, we are retarding the family. We are somehow cutting its limbs off, or we are strapping up its limbs or preventing its limbs from developing, and so it never becomes fully functional in the way that God intends it to function. So that's why I'm saying we've got to be so careful to do this biblically and think carefully through these issues so that they're all covered. And we do it according to what God has said, according to the scriptures. Yes, it cuts across our culture, it cuts across our traditions, but we've got to lay those principles down carefully and stick to them. You see, the church is undermining the kingdom in a major way in our day by the way it presumes, for example, that women's Bible studies are a necessary and critical part of the Christian life, promotes them as such. How is the husband going to lead when his wife believes she is more knowledgeable and spiritual than her husband, or seeks her spiritual satisfaction from somewhere else? You see, this doesn't build, but it undermines the family. This undermines the family and feeds a system, the Bible study, that keeps the family dysfunctional. And this is done in the name of the kingdom growth. So we need to maintain the family unit and how God designed it to function. That unit has to be protected. It has to be strengthened in the way God shows that it needs to be strengthened and has to be protected. When the husband and father is not carrying out his responsibilities, who has the right to step into that jurisdiction and do it for him? There's nobody who has the right to do it. The church is there to preach the truth, encourage him and exhort him to his responsibilities. But we cannot go and pick up the husband's responsibilities. He's not training his wife, therefore the church now goes and meets that and picks up that responsibility. He's not training his children, therefore the church picks up that responsibility. Can you see, the whole time we're not thinking biblically. We're thinking that these programs are something that is building the kingdom. We say, no, God clearly shows the family is so critically central and the most basic building block to the working of the kingdom. So if we are not bringing the family into line with how it should be doing it, then we are never going to reproduce. The youth group cannot reproduce discipleship that takes place in the family or should be taking place in the family. The woman's Bible study is not going to cover what should be taking place in, as the father has to lay his life down, as he has to instruct his family, as he has to be part of that whole working and that whole mechanism. It cannot replace that. And therefore, when we set up these alternative ways, we undermine the very thing we're trying to accomplish. If we truly relied upon the scriptures to be the source for everything we do, absolutely everything, then we need to identify and protect the jurisdictions that God has instituted. Understanding jurisdiction is vital for the whole of our Christian life. It is by conforming ourselves to the jurisdictions that God has established that we will manifest His wisdom and bring glory to His name. True maturity in every sphere of life is only attained when everyone stays within their appointed jurisdictions. Wherever these appear, there's many different jurisdictions, and we've looked at some, but we have to stay within those boundaries and trust, yes, as we function within these, don't pick up stuff outside my jurisdiction, but focus on what I should be focusing upon. Gossip is curtailed when people conform to God's jurisdiction. Do you know that? If you're not worrying about everybody else's issues and talking about what everybody else is doing because you're sticking within your jurisdiction, I have no jurisdiction to decide how that family should function. I have no jurisdiction over that man or that woman or that person. I am responsible before God to function according to the jurisdiction He has placed me in. And if you truly believed that, there would be a lot less gossip in our communities. Congregations are strengthened and families are built up when we stay within the jurisdictions that God has set. God's authoritative word is our only sure guide for all things. And we demonstrate that truth when we actually live our lives according to that truth, by observing these things that I've been talking about this evening, as we bring our minds and our thinking into line with every word that He has said. All right, God bless you.